Media presents Travelitch Radio, the show that lets you scratch your lust for travel from the friendly confines of your home. I'm your host, Dan Schlossberg, and every week at this time, we bring you inside the world of travel, from hotels and tours to cruise ships, planes, trains, and things you can take on your trip. Listen live on iTunes or blogtalkradio.com, or check out the show later on Facebook, blogtalkradio.com, or on my website, danschlossberg.net. Our special guest tonight is Jordan Spreckman, founder and CEO of New York Sports Tours. Welcome, Jordan, to the 298th episode of Travelitch Radio.
Dan, thanks a lot. And I'm a little short of 300 because that would be a nice number, but 298 is a good one.
It can still get us into the Hall of Fame for sure.
That's right.
Well, Jordan, New York Sports Tours is brand new. You launched in June. If you met a stranger on a plane, how would you explain it to him?
Well, I met several strangers on planes and talked about this. And basically what I say to them, I've condensed the message down to this. It's a museum on wheels. It's a guided three-hour tour in a luxury vehicle consisting of about 35 or so mini documentaries of people and events that have changed history, not only New York sports history, but the history of New York and even the history of the United States and the world generally. It's a three-hour tour, about 2 hours of tape narration, about 1 hour of live narration, and then when the tour is over, everybody gets to enjoy a meal at Keene Steakhouse right here in Midtown Manhattan. That's how I would describe it if you said met somebody on a plane. That's how I would describe it for an elevator pitch. Most plane rides last a little longer than that, so I get to elaborate a little bit more.
Okay, so you could actually say this is more about American history than sports, and you don't need to be a sports fan to enjoy it. Is that correct?
Oh, that's absolutely true. I mean, basically what we're doing is we use sports as a vehicle to tell a lot of themes about history generally, American history most specifically, of course, but history generally. We talk about, race relations, civil rights movement, women's rights, labor management relationships, developments in transportation, communication, again, all using sports as a vehicle to do it. And what we do is the tour as it stands now is a tour that is confined to Midtown Manhattan, basically bounded by 23rd Street on the south, 53rd Street on the north, 3rd Avenue to the east, 8th Avenue to the west. And within that relatively small geographic footprint, we bring people to sites and connect them to people and events that have had an impact on New York sports history. And some of the places, which are kind of look like, anodyne, apartment buildings or office buildings or whatever, actually have a pretty strong connection to New York sports history. I mean, my favorite example of that, and this is an example, Dan, that I know as a baseball guy you will appreciate, is 270 Park Avenue, which is on Park Avenue and 47th Street in Midtown Manhattan, 50-story office building, the home of an international bank, internationally well-known bank, was at one time the home of Harry Frazee, the man who sold Babe Ruth to the Yankees. And so we tell the story, as we were going by 270 Park Avenue, everybody's like, well, okay, 270 Park Avenue, it's Park Avenue, it's just office buildings, big deal. It's like, well, no, 270 Park Avenue was the home of Harry Frazee. And we tell the story of Frazee and, why he sold Ruth to the Yankees and what he did with the proceeds. He didn't go and finance no net, as is commonly believed. He used it actually to build a theater that he called the Frazee. So that's 270 Park Avenue, and actually right across the street, for the pro football fans, is 277 Park Avenue, another office building. And at 277 Park Avenue, we tell the story of Harry Wismer, the original owner of the team that's now known as the New York Jets. Harry was an important guy in broadcast television in the 1950s. The AFL gave him a franchise in New York, even though he was probably a little undercapitalized. In fact, it definitely was undercapitalized, but they needed his influence in the media in order to be able to get the television deals that the league knew it needed in order to be able to, you know, sustain themselves in the early years of their, you know, I hate to use the word war, but their battle with the NFL and, you know, an attempt to get respectability. And Harry Wismer was an instrumental figure in the history of the AFL and then later the NFL, and even guys like Lamar Hunt, would acknowledge that even today. And so that's the kind of thing that we do, is we tell those kinds of stories. People, again, sitting in a luxury vehicle, we tell those stories, and like I say, we tell about 35 of them, touching on a number of sports, not just the big four, baseball, basketball, football, hockey, but also, you know, tennis, golf, soccer, swimming, all kinds of sports.
If you're a fan of one particular sport, let's say baseball, for example, mm-hmm. is there enough on the tour to sustain that interest? And do you visit both New York ballparks as well as the sites of former New York ballparks?
Well, yeah, I mean, because we're confined to that geography, basically Midtown Manhattan, we can't visit the sites of any existing ballparks or really former ballparks. So, I mean, I don't want anybody to think that, yes, we're going to go traipse up to Yankee Stadium and back. That's actually something that we would like to do. But, again, you have to realize that, you know, when you're, you know, doing this tour, you know, there are certain time constraints. You don't have all day. People don't have that kind of patience generally. And so we have to decide, what is it that we really want to do? Do we want to – because one of our future plans is, in fact, if we do – you know, if this tour succeeds and it does well, our next tour number two, if you want to call it, would be going to Upper Manhattan in the Bronx to go to, for instance, the site of the existing and the former Yankee Stadium, Hilltop Park, where, of course, the Highlanders, later known as the Yankees, started, the Polo Grounds, where the Giants played, and, of course, the Yankees played there as well, and Baker Field, Columbia University, all of that area, like I say, in Upper Manhattan and the South Bronx. We would like to do that. That's, like I say, kind of tour two. But one of the interesting things about the tour is that, for instance, while we may not go past the site of any existing New York baseball parks, we do get to basketball and hockey venues. We'll talk about that in a second. We go past 34th Street and Lexington Avenue and say, well, 34th Street and Lexington Avenue, big deal. Well, historians have determined that that's where the Knickerbocker Athletic Club actually laid out a field and started playing the first games of what we now know as baseball. And we go past Madison Square Park, where the Knickerbockers actually played in the late 1830s and then into the 1840s, and developed the game of baseball as we know it today. So when you go past Madison Square Park, or depending on how you want to look at it, past 34th Street and Lexington Avenue, you are passing the birthplace of baseball as we know it. And that, I think, is kind of interesting. We also pass, as I mentioned before, we also pass the site of all four of the Madison Square Gardens, which, of course, Madison Square Garden, very, very famous for any number of sporting events, be they basketball, hockey, boxing. Boxing may be the internationally the thing that Madison Square Garden is most famous for. The first two Madison Square Gardens were diagonally across the street from Madison Square Park at 26th Street and 26th Street and Madison Avenue, and we pass by those and we tell the stories of what happened in those buildings, and maybe the most famous thing that ever happened, for instance, the second Madison Square Garden was the murder of Stanford White up in the roof tower of the building that he actually built. So we tell a lot of those kinds of stories. And like I said, I think the tour is quite interesting. And again, because it's all sports, somebody, a baseball fan might say, well, as you asked in your question, is there really enough baseball here to sustain my interest? And the answer is, we talk about Babe Ruth, we talk about Lou Gehrig, we talk about Mickey Mantle, Joe DiMaggio, Casey Stengel, Darryl Strawberry, Dwight Gooden, Bobby Thompson, Ralph Branca, all of that kind of stuff. And we, of course, so we touch on all of that. And then, Marvin Miller, for instance, is obviously a seminal figure in baseball history as well. So I think that there is enough there for everybody.
At the luncheon that announced New York sports tours, Jordan, a bunch of prominent New York sports figures revealed that they learned so much on your tours. You had Brian Cashman, Mary Carrillo, John Starks, and Shep Messing. They all said the same thing. How did you pick the spots that your tour highlights?
Well, we had to do a lot of research. Again, part of it is driven by where we could go, but part of it was, again, what connection does this particular building or this particular location have to New York sports history? So that just simply required a lot of research. If you're going by the Roosevelt Hotel at 44th Street and Madison Avenue, it's like, what does that have to do with New York sports history? And actually, we tell a story about Roger Donahue, a boxer who, when Bud Schulberg interviewed him, when Bud Schulberg was working on a screenplay for a movie, Schulberg said to, ask Donahue, how good a boxer were you? Donahue said, well, I could have been a contender. And Schulberg took that line and gave it to Marlon Brando, and Marlon Brando made it, one of the top three lines in motion picture history. I think it's number three, actually. How did we pick these spots? We picked the spots to try to again, the underlying point of the tour is that you can tell an interesting, cohesive story, a good narrative about American history by using New York sports as the vehicle to tell it. And everything that we did, again, we try to tie to, like I say, a specific venue. So we picked it in part based on the geography, what we decided to confine ourselves to, and in part because we wanted to tell a compelling story that, as you alluded to earlier, would appeal not only to sports fans but to non-sports fans as well. Because I get and I'm very conscious of the idea of a non-sports fan, rolling their eyes in the back of their head and say, God, this would be boring. Why on earth would I want to look at it? Actually, some of the most favorable reviews we have gotten from people, and we've got basically unanimously favorable reviews, some of the best reviews have been from people who are not sports fans who have said, gosh, that's so interesting, I didn't know that. And that tends to be people's reaction generally when they learn something that's told in an entertaining way that they didn't know. They said, gosh, I didn't know that, that's so interesting. That's the reaction that we want to get, and that is in fact the reaction we've been getting.
Jordan, a lot of this history is very little known. Who does the research? Who did the research?
Well, I did a lot of it. I've been in the sports business, I will say in the middle of the sports business, but certainly on the fringes of the sports business for 35 years. Statistician for New York Jets football team, on official score for Major League Baseball. I've worked at the U.S. Open Tennis Championships since the mid-1980s. I did a lot of work on it. Also, the president of New York Sports Tours, Kevin O'Keefe, did a lot of work on it. Kevin and I basically collaborated on a lot of the information. We're the one, we did the research today, but the research had been done over the period of many years, and a lot of the research actually was done by a friend of mine who's since passed away, Bill Shannon, who was also an official scorer here in New York.
I knew Bill well.
Yes, and a New York sports historian of great renown. He was former publicity director of Madison Square Garden, among his many accomplishments. And the idea for this for New York sports tours in many ways originates with Bill, because he had an idea in the 1980s to do a museum, a New York sports museum. And basically, and we tried that and it didn't succeed, but basically we took the germ of that idea, Kevin and I, and we turned it into New York sports tours, which, as I said earlier, was kind of a museum on wheels.
How many tours per day, and how many people per tour, and what kind of vehicles do you use?
Well, we use luxury vehicles. Right about now, they are essentially 12-seaters. We could accommodate 9 guests. So we could also go to a larger luxury vehicle. When I say luxury vehicle, you know, you go in, and it's plush seating. There's a place for... for glass or a can of or a bottle of water, that kind of thing, with video set up in the vehicle itself, so that as the narration is going, people are able to look out the window or watch the video as they see fit, and to answer your question, right now we run one tour per day, not every single day, but many days. Sometimes you can't run a tour on a particular day. Right now we go with 9 guests maximum. We can go as high as 18 guests maximum with a larger vehicle that we think would retain those elements of luxury and intimacy. Once you get beyond 20, I think you're going to lose that sense of luxury and intimacy, and we really don't want to go beyond that. I could see a time where we do two tours per day, but right now we're at one tour per day. And they usually go off either at 10 o'clock or 2 p.m. in many ways, depending to some extent on what day of the week it is, to some extent on traffic, and to some extent what the particular guests want to do. If a whole group wants to go, for instance, 9 people, and they say, well, we want to go at 10, we'll go at 10. If they want to go at 2, we'll go at 2. If they say they want to go at noon, we can go at noon. We have that kind of flexibility.
Good to know. Our guest is Jordan Spreckman, CEO and founder of New York Sports Tours. I understand you show short documentary videos in the vehicles just as you get to each particular site. Did New York Sports Tours produce those videos?
We did. I mean, we did an awful lot of homework. We had to do a lot of rights clearances because, a lot of the footage that we have is owned by other owned by other people. A lot of stuff is actually in the public domain, although a lot of it is actually quite obscure, and so therefore there was no need to pay for those rights. But yes, we did produce those videos, and we. So it is really all really an original story that we are telling there. We're taking threads from a lot of different ways, and we're putting it together what we think is a very entertaining and educational way. Certainly educational, and I'm pretty sure entertaining as well. I mean, there are people who come out of our tours.
Yeah, definitely sounds like it. Your tours are 3 hours long, Jordan, but they can be extended an additional hour if patrons opt to have lunch or dinner with a local sports celebrity. And that happens
at
Keens, is that correct?
That's right. Okay. I mean, I've been on tours myself, and one of the things about it is you go on a tour, and when it's over, it's like, okay, well, that was nice. Now what? But given the intimacy and the feeling of exclusivity and the specialness of what we're trying to achieve, we thought that when the tour ended, it would be nice for people to be able to compare notes, expand on some of the stories that they heard, ask questions about some of the things that they heard, because there's not an indefinite amount of time to ask a lot of questions. If you want to drill into, say, the Harry Frazee story, and you want to know more about if he didn't use the money to pay for that, what did he use the money for, that kind of thing, we don't you just don't have the time for that, because you got to keep driving, you got to keep moving, you want to stay on a calendar. So a lot of people who want to discuss it more, well, we decided to host everybody for lunch, and as we were discussing the idea for hosting lunch, so what would be an interesting idea was to have somebody connected to the New York sports business serve as a host, perhaps somebody who you always want a good storyteller, right? And you want a good host, and somebody who might be able to expand on that which the guests saw, and go ahead and talk some more about it. And it just gives everybody, I think, a nice warm feeling at the end of it. And I think it's a nice special touch. And I think it's actually one of the highlights of what we do, is that meal to talk to some, a meal at which you could talk to somebody about what you just saw, and spend a little more time with the topic rather than just end the tour and go away.
Do people signing up know who their celebrity host is going to be?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Sometimes people will request a specific guest and we'll do everything that we can to accommodate them, but sometimes not. I mean, but we've had Mickey Rivers, who center fielder for the Yankee World Series championship teams in 1977 and 78. He was a host. He was a wonderful host, great storyteller, a lot of fun. He hosted. We had Shep Messing. You mentioned Shep earlier. Goaltender for the Cosmos of the North American Soccer League and other teams as well. And he played indoor soccer. And he's a fascinating storyteller as well. And I mean, how many people can you meet with who could talk about playing with Pele and Franz Beckenbauer and Carlos Alberto, who are all in their country's soccer legends? And Messing played with all of them. And
yeah, that's pretty good.
And it's remarkable. So if you love that, you're going to love to hear from Shep.
And I know you had Marty Appel. Did people get copies of his books as well?
Yes. We've had Marty Appel, prolific author, former public relations director for the Yankees, former executive producer of WPIX Yankee Telecast, or actually executive producer of the Telecast. We've had him. Recently we had Richard Sandomir, who is the television critic for the sports TV critic for the New York Times, who recently came out with a book on the movie Pride of the Yankees and the stories that he told about Lou Gehrig and Babe Ruth and Gary Cooper and Teresa Wright and, you know, Mrs. Gehrig and all, you know, Eleanor Gehrig, and he was captivating. We sat around and we could have listened to Richard talk listen to him today talk, but we'd have sat there for 3 hours if Keane had let us. They got to turn their tables over, too, and we understand that.
Well, that's a great segue, because I wanted to ask you to tell our readers a little bit about Keane's Steakhouse.
Keane's is a steakhouse that is drenched in New York history, some sports history, but just New York history generally. I mean, Keane's has been it used to be called Keane's Chop House, now known as Keane's Steakhouse. It's at 36th Street and 6th Avenue. Wonderful food there, and that's really where you want to start. You want everybody to walk away and say at least they had a good meal, and Keane's will certainly provide you with a good meal. But Keane's is, like I say, drenched in New York history. I mean, you know, politicians, celebrities of all types used to go there. Theodore Roosevelt, who figures very prominently in New York sports years generally because he was governor of New York and, of course, president of the United States. And while he was president of the United States, had a huge impact on the developments in college football in 1905. Basically, it was at President Roosevelt, Teddy Roosevelt's urging that the organization that became known, that is now known today as the NCAA, was formed. Roosevelt was a regular there. One of the fascinating things about Keane's is they actually have a program in their possession from Ford's Theater the night President Lincoln was assassinated. So it's just a place that is dripping in history. They have duplicates of old newspapers on the walls everywhere. They have pipes on the ceiling. Nobody actually smokes with pipes anymore because there's no smoking. But people used to come in and use and smoke their particular pipes, and they've got literally thousands of pipes all over the place. And it's in many ways a step back in time, and based on what we're doing, which is telling a history of New York sports, it's in many ways the perfect venue for us. I mean, it's a wonderful place, and the people there have been very, very accommodating and helpful to us as we've tried to move this venture along.
And another thing that's unique about your tours is people can handle sports artifacts. Is that done in the restaurant or in the vehicle?
Both, but in the vehicle, we will hand around, for instance, old programs, old medals from, for instance, New York Athletic Club, New York Athletic Club, which was instrumental in the development of modern athletics just generally, because the New York Athletic Club helped establish, you know, amateur athletic rules. They were the principal they were the principal funnel for producing American athletes that participated in the Olympics, you know, when the Olympics started, really into the 1920s and 30s. You know, we have artifacts from the New York Athletic Club. We have, you know, artifacts from whether it's, you know, pick your sport, baseball, basketball, football, et cetera. And people love to handle those and feel like that they are touching history. So, yes, there's a lot of that that happens on the tour. One thing that also happens on the tour, people are not just confined to the van for 3 hours. They get to get out a couple of times. One place that everybody really likes to get out is at the 69th Regiment Armory down on 25th Street and Lexington Avenue in Manhattan, where the Knicks used to play. Actually, the Knicks played 9 NBA final games, 1951, 52, and 53, if you can believe it. The 69th Regiment Armory was also a staging area after September 11th, and actually the Yankees, led by Joe Torre, went down there. We actually talked quite a bit. That's actually probably the most emotional part of the tour for people who have been on it, you know, hearing – you know, reliving the stories about how, you know, the Yankees went there that day and a lot of people, and this not confined to the Yankees, obviously the Giants, Jets, Mets, and everybody, you know, banded together at that time. Of the story about the Yankees going there and saying they really didn't want to bother the families, and the family saying, no, we want to see you guys. You know, that's how important sports is just to people generally. They felt that connection. And one of the wonderful things about the Yankees winning the pennant that year was what it meant to New York. You know, of course, with the Mets with the famous Mike Piazza home run against the Braves that year, the first, you know, major professional sporting event in New York immediately after September 11th, sort of a, hey, we're not that we were ever gone, but we're back, we're still here, and this, you know, and we can't be beaten. And then the Yankees going on to win the pennant when a lot of people, frankly, didn't expect them to win the pennant that year. Great stories.
Well, as a personal aside, I was in the Fighting 69th in the National Guard. So years and years ago,
okay.
I guess 1969, I know that building quite well. Had many meetings there.
Well, and you know, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish got their name, and we tell this story, got their name from the 69th Regiment Armory, because a Daily News sports writer who was Irish basically gave the Notre Dame football team, they're known as the Ramblers into the 1920s, gave Notre Dame the nickname the Fighting Irish in honor of the connections with the 69th Regiment Armory and the Fighting Irish soldiers who fought going all the way back to the Civil War.
Jordan, does New York sports tours have a minimum age?
It does not. Now, I would not suggest bringing a 5-year-old along, because I think it would be, you know, wasted on a 5-year-old. But I think certainly anybody from teens on up would enjoy it. In fact, I think it is it's a tour that bonds parents and children together. We've had mothers come with sons, fathers come with daughters, and I think that when especially the younger generation can see how the older generation developed their attachments to sports and how the older generation can explain, you know, yes, I was a Knicks fan and there was, you know, Walt Frazier, a picture of Walt Frazier, whatever. That's the kind of thing that really creates those bonds that families really enjoy. And I do think it is in fact, I think, great family entertainment for anybody. You know, teens on up, I would say.
And got to tell us the cost, Joe.
The cost for the 3-hour tour without the meal at Keynes is $150 per person. The cost with the meal at Keynes is $200 per person. And nobody who's been on the tour has asked for a refund, so we think that that's good pricing.
Okay, and really quickly, what is the website so people can book?
The website is www.newyorksports.tours, and on the website you'll see a list of dates that are available for tours. And again, it's come one, come all. We think it's going to be a wonderful success, and we really enjoyed putting it together, and we hope that the people who go on the tour enjoy it as much as we enjoyed putting it together.
Well, thank you very much, Jordan Spreckman, founder and CEO of New York Sports Tours, for being our guest on Travel Itch Radio. And that's it for this edition of Travel Itch Radio. Next week, our guest will be Robert Fisher, owner of my favorite restaurant in the world, Mabel's Lobster Claw in Kennebunkport, Maine. Watch our Facebook page for announcements of that show and future shows. And if you want to get booked on Travelitz Radio, email Dan Schlossberg at ballauthor@gmail.com or tweet at Braves1. That's Braves numeral 1. Now, this is Dan Schlossberg saying thank you for your time this time. Until next time, good night.